Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Grace Nurtured. This is your host, Danielle. Thank you all so much for joining us on today. If it is your first time being here with us, we welcome you and invite you to continue joining us Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Grace Nurture is a ministry of the Grace View Church of Christ located in Stone Mountain, Georgia, where Brother Willie Bradshaw is minister. He will also be presenting our words of encouragement for today. I kindly ask that you stop whatever it is you are doing, find yourselves a quiet corner, and prepare to listen to the words God has placed upon his heart to share with us all on today. Brother Bradshaw, you are on the air.
Good morning, everybody, everywhere. I know that fall and winter is, just slap upon us. I know fall is because it is so dark outside here in Riverdale, Georgia. It used to be about this time, 7 o'clock, it'd be pretty light outside. But now all the street lights are still on and it's still dark, so I know it's moving in that direction. And then if you were to go up into the north and South Carolina mountains, you'll notice the trees are beginning to change a little bit in the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks. They'll be changing, and then all of that will be gone. The full color and the full color of nature will be right up on you. And so we know that the leaves are changing, and they're doing it without your help. There's nothing that you are doing on your own to make sure that they go one way or the other. I planted a few trees in my yard, and they die on me. But these are out in the woods. They're out in nowhere. When you go up into Amicalola Falls, or you go up into Mount Mitchell, or up around Marion, North Carolina, places all like that, these trees, they do exactly what God intended for them to do. And sometimes that makes me shake in my boots when I find out that God created the fowls of the air and the fish of the sea and the beast of the field and all the birds and everything, and they pretty much without conscious, without a soul, they go about and do everything that God has actually placed them on the earth to do. The trees, the trees go through their cycle each year. They go through their cycle, and they fall, and then they come back on, and without our attention at all, it's God's attention. And so sometimes I get ashamed. Sometimes when we do things wrong and when we are not doing what we're supposed to do, and what I'm figuring out is all that's supposed to be to the glory and honor of God. So I want us to look at a passage of scripture this morning and a thought that I won't be finished with today because there's just so much in this passage. And that's in Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37, this great prophet of God. God's people had been led out of Egyptian bondage, and now they sort of had a split among themselves, and God wasn't pleased with all of the corruption that was going on among his people, so he decided that he was going to, in some way, somehow, send them into Babylonian captivity. And there were many times when Israel, or when God's people won wars with less people, and won wars with less people, but now both Judah and all had been overcome, and so Ezekiel is in this picture, and Ezekiel 37 is just so much to be taught in this passage, and I'm gonna deal with just a little bit of it this morning, but and then we'll come back to it again at another time. But in Ezekiel chapter 37, God's people is in the bleak. The things just don't look so well. The outcome of where they are and how they're going to get away and will they ever survive? Will they ever survive again? And the reason why that I'm talking about this passage this morning, and I'm going to talk about it again at another time, is because I know that we have some listeners. We have some listeners on here who think that you are at the end of your rope and that there's no way out and that you have done all that you can do and you do not see the light at the end of the tunnel. But I want you to know that God is in this picture. He's in your picture. And one of the things that this passage would say, I'm going to say that before we ever get to it, but one of these passages says, and so that after I bring you through whatever I bring you through, that you know that I am, that you know I am the Lord. And so here he says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, they were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. I want you to notice that oftentimes when we think that we've got to the end of our ropes, and when there is no hope, and we everybody else has walked away from us, and we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, that's exactly where God wants you to be. He puts you in the position where that when you finally do come through on the other side, that you can give him the honor, the glory, and the praise. Here's what he says here. He said, then they were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Verse number 3, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. That's a very interesting passage, because he said unto him, son of man, can these bones live? There's another question I want to ask after that is, why should these bones live? Can these bones live? Why should they live? And he answers and says, O Lord God, thou knowest. He didn't finish that statement. That's a hanger. That's a cliffhanger. Because he didn't say, Lord God, thou knowest that they can live, or that they can't, or that they will, with your power, that they can do some way or another. That's a cliffhanger. He left that phrase sort of open. And then he didn't say, what do you mean? I don't know. Ezekiel used some common sense in this passage. And so he said, son of man, can these bones live? My next question would be, why should they live? And again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That passage right there just sort of shook me a little bit, is because it says, he says, prophesy unto these very dead, dry bones. Why would you do, you know, that's the reason why we still need to be preaching the gospel, even in the midst of this pandemic. He said, I want you to prophesy to these dry bones, and that they hear the word of the Lord. What do you mean? Bones hearing the word of the Lord. What do you mean, dry bones here? There are some people who are in some serious conditions today, almost like these dry bones, and they need to hear the word of the Lord. So just because this pandemic is upon us, we don't need to stop our mission. We don't need to stop going forward. We don't need to stop pushing. It's because there's still some dry bones out there that needs to hear the word of God. Here's two things I want you to remember, is what God can do and what God did do. Because he says, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus said the Lord God in verse number 5 unto these bones, and behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. You know, I told you before that this is like a gold thread that runs throughout the entire Bible. Don't let nobody fool you and tell you that we got a lost books of the Bible, and the Bible is not accurate, and it seemed to be jumping around and things of that sort. But when I read this particular passage, it said, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Well, let's go back to the Genesis passage when he says, and God breathed into the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Don't let anybody be fooling you and be tricking you, be bamboozling you about what the Bible is all about. But he says, not only did God tell him what to prophesy, but he also told him, he also put himself in action. There's another thing that I want you to see in this passage too, is that Ezekiel did what God told him to do. He obeyed God's commandment. Now, how significant is that? It's because when we do what God says do, then it's all going to work out in the end. Now, if we fail to do it, then that's why we have so much complication. You wonder why I'm having so much complication. Why things are not just going like I want them to go? That's because some kind of way you have interrupted that whole situation with your foolishness, with your ignorance, with your disobedience, some kind of way. But if God gives us a commandment and we follow that commandment, certainly the outcome is going to be exactly like it started out to do. And so he says unto him, Lord God, unto the bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter. Now listen to what he says. God is even predicting something. He said, I will cause a breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now this is what I'm going to do if you do what I tell you to do. And then he says unto him in verse number 6, and he laid upon you, and he said, and I will bring upon you flesh upon you, and you shall be covered with skin, and you shall put breath in you, and you shall live. And then here's the clincher. Here's the clincher right here. One of the passages says, he says, can these bones live? Ezekiel said, God, you know one way or the other whether they can or they cannot. And then God says, I want you to prophesy unto these dead, dry bones that have no life into them, no life into them at all. And then he said, he began to do that. And then he said unto them, he said, I will put breath in. This is what God says I'm going to do. And I will bring up flesh upon you, and I will cover you. And then he said, with the skin, then so I will put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know. Now here's the clincher. And you shall know that I am the Lord. My first impression of this was, can these bones live? My next impression was, why should they live? After God brings us through what we're going through, He's not wanting to bring us through it so that we can go play golf again. He's not wanting us to go through it just so that we can go play football again, or so that we can go on vacation that we almost missed at Disney World and all of that kind of thing. He says, if you survive what you're trying to survive, because I'm going to help you through it, he says, the first thing I want you to do is that you shall know that I am the Lord. Whether you make it to Disney World or not, whether you be able to go play golf or not, whether you be able to go play tennis or not, whether you missed that vacation or not. He said, the fact that I'm trying to bring you through your cancer, bring you through your you've got a family situation. You can't do nothing with them kids. And you just sort of living in the house, you and your husband and your wife, you just sort of passing through like a ship in the night because things just ain't going just right for you. And your job, you're all messed up with it with this pandemic. You on again, off again, 2 days a week, maybe one day a week or whatever. But God says, when I bring you through this thing, I don't want you to talk about, well, now I got 40 hours a week and this thing. He said, I want you, the key thing is, I want you to know that I am the Lord. And then he says unto him in verse number 7, so prophesy. I prophesied as I was commanded. That was the key to the whole thing. Whatever God tells us to do, we've got to do it. And he said, as I prophesied, he said, there was a noise. You see, when I hear about this noise, remember now, we're in the book of Ezekiel. And I'm telling you about this fine thread that runs throughout the Bible. He said, when I heard this noise, that reminds me of the day of Pentecost, when he says, and there was a noise abroad that brought all the people. They were doing their own thing. They were going about their own business. But this noise of this great mighty wind was noised abroad, and it caused everybody to come into one place. Can't you see the consistency of the Bible? And he said, there was a noise, and behold, there was a shaking. And when I think about this word shaking, I think about that when Jesus died on the cross, that the earth shook so much. And he said, and these bones came together bone to bone. I mentioned to you in verse number 4 what God can do. And verse number 7 shows me what God did do. And then he says, and when I beheld, he says, lo, he says, the flesh came together upon them, and the skin covered them about. And he said, but there was no breath in them. Now we got a full body. Now we got a full body with skin and the whole thing. But it's almost like, but there was no breath in it. And when, next time we talk, I'm going to show you how the God now began to put this breath in it. But when you think you got to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it and just hang on to it. That's all you can do. The song says, God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lived. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and the joy that he gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face on certain days because he lived. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. Then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the light and the glory, and I'll know that he reigns. Because he lived, I can face tomorrow. Because he lived, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth living because he lived. Whatever you're going through this very day, I don't care what it is, try a little harder to live. Try a little harder to do better. Try a little harder with your family. Why? It's because he lives, we can face tomorrow. The question is, can these dry bones live? Yes, but why should they live? They should live because on the other side, you shall know that I am the Lord. Thank you, God, for this day. Bless us as we go through it. Pull us through on the other side. May we be grateful, thankful, give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. Jesus loves you. He died for you, and he's coming again. Have a super-duper day. Amen.